The Town of Discovery Bay regular CSD board meeting is now called to order. Would everybody please rise and follow Director Graves in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect, all members are present.
Thank you. This is the time that we offer the podium for public comments. It'll be on anything that is not on the agenda. Connie, please come up.
Connie Miller, 5735 Union Cleveland Way, Discovery Bay. I'm here to thank you, Board, and Mr. Davies, for listening to a health issue. And I appreciate it so much. I came earlier today to test it out to see if the fumes of a new rug would be any problems, and they seem to be gone. So I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Connie, for bringing it up. There is a new carpet that's been put in, and that's what you were referencing. So thank you. Any other public comment? Frank?
My name is Frank Dissington. I'm on Discovery Boulevard. I'll read this real quickly. A comprehensive analysis of the Town of Discovery Bay's 2009 through 2018 financial statements was completed. Homeowners may not be aware that the Town of Discovery Bay's Board of Directors are also the directors of the Discovery Bay Public Financing Authority established in 2012. The Town of Discovery Bay's Board of Directors unanimously voted to issue two revenue bonds totaling $22.9 million. Homeowners did not and legally could not vote on issuing these revenue bonds. However, homeowners are indebted to pay off these revenue bonds through 2048. It is taxation without representation each time the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors issue revenue bonds. On behalf of the homeowners, two board resolutions are requested for the next Town of Discovery Bay's Board of Directors meeting, December 4th, 2019, and the annual Discovery Bay Public Financing Authority meeting, December 18th, 2019. Resolution 1. Authorize the use of $3.2 million of the $15.5 million currently sitting in the business activities unrestricted net assets to eliminate an $8.01 monthly meter installation charge and reimburse the $8.01 water meter charge already collected. The $15.5 million currently sitting in the business unrestricted net assets is there in part due to the aforementioned issued revenue bonds. The Town of Discovery Bay's Board of Directors knew that other California towns paid for the water meter installations, not the homeowners. Resolution 2. Dissolve the Discovery Bay Public Financing Authority so homeowners may vote on all tax, fee, and charge increases. It takes the president of the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors, currently Bill Mayer, to place the above two resolutions on an agenda. It takes three of the five Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors to pass the above two resolutions. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Any other public comments? Seeing none, I'll close public comments and move on to the consent calendar. Are there any items to be removed for further discussion by the board? Not seeing such.
Move the consent calendar.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. D1, we've got a presentation. And just when you come up, tell me how to pronounce it. Is it Cicchini?
The Cicchini property.
I say it again?
Cicchini property.
Cicchini.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. My name is Tim Saunders. If you don't mind popping up the, we have a PowerPoint for you. I'm the representative for the Hanghu Group out of Ningbo, China. So let's see if I can pull this thing.
I'll pull it up for you.
Thank you. Is everybody familiar with the Cicchini property, where it is? It's been around for a while. I think at one point it was under review to be 6,000 units or something like that back in the day. But the Hangu group bought it about a year and a half ago. They bought it in May of 2018. They bought the entire property, inclusive of the agricultural conservation easement. I don't know how many of you know, but the northern portion of the property was put into an ag preserve. So it's about 520 acres, and that will obviously stay and work as a farm in perpetuity. So the property we're talking about is the remainder property, which is, we refer to as the south property. It's about 600 acres. So as I said, my name's Tim Saunders. I've been developing out here for 20 plus years in Brentwood and hopefully in East Contra Costa. And I've been working with a group out here for quite some time, civil engineers, soils, and marketing. So if I can introduce them, I'm going to have this as a real interactive meeting. Please feel free to ask questions along the way, and don't be shy to interrupt at any point. So you don't have to wait for the end. But first, where's Jason Bogan?
Good evening, Chair, members of the board. It's a pleasure to be here. This is an exciting project for me. I actually have grown up in East County. I graduated from Antioch High School, currently live in Brentwood. I was on staff for 15 years for the city of Oakley. Now I'm a principal for Carlson, Barbie, and Gibson. We've done a number of the land development projects out here in East County. We helped develop the Lakes project, and so we're familiar with Discovery Bay and the infrastructure systems in East County. So this is a near and dear project to my heart. I've been coming out to Discovery Bay since I was a kid, so this is a fun one for me.
And Steve Harris is our soils engineer.
How's it going? I'm Steve Harris, a geotech engineer on this project. I've lived here in Discovery Bay on deep water for 23 years now. My wife moved that here in 96. Most people know me as Carrie Harris's husband. She's a realtor here in town, but I also work. And we've been working on this project. We started drilling borings in 1993 on this job, so we've been through Ben Rover and this whole process, 100 and something explorations, and really mapped out the subsurface conditions out there. So we definitely are very familiar with the site, that's for sure.
Thanks, Steve. And Susan State is our market consultant.
Hi, I'm Susan State, and I'm the president of SF State & Associates. We've been doing consulting to the development and residential industry for about 40 years. I've also been a big-time fan of Discovery Bay. My parents have lived out here for about 45 years. They retired, and so we've spent a lot of time, and they finally encouraged me to come out, and so now I am a resident of the area living in Brentwood. And so I have a lot of experience here. I've done over 6,000 market studies in my career, spanning from all over Northern California to out of state, and I am super excited to be a part of this project.
Thanks. So for the past year and a half since the group has owned this property, we've been really studying the types of soils, the infrastructure. We've been collaborating with the county and Mike, and kind of just gathering information. And so we've kind of gotten a base amount of information that we can now bring in front of you. And the key here is collaboration. What we're here to do tonight is tell you what we've learned, what we know, and hopefully get your input on some of the things that you're interested in, either concerns or benefits. Our goal here is for a win-win project and for it to be a real benefit to the town of Discovery Bay. So this is where the project sits. How it'll fit in. It basically starts about at the marina and goes south to Highway 4. As you'll notice, we're not breaching the levee, and we're going to be using a lake system, which is hopefully going to save significant environmental issues with the governmental agencies that cover the Delta. So I'm going to, this is a zoomed in view of the project, and I'm going to have Jason come back up and talk about the infrastructure. Before we can start with soils, Steve, we can talk about the soil types. Either one.
Yeah. I'm up, so I can just I can just launch right in. I mean, it's timely. I saw on the agenda that you've got an update coming up later on the master plans for the infrastructure. We know obviously this is a 500 acre project. The numbers that are thrown around, Tim, I know mentioned the concept is this is an active adult project, so an age based project. But with that, a project this size, if it's 2,000 or so units. It's going to bring with it the need to expand the sewer system and the water system. We understand that. We understand that, that Sakini Ranch has been thought of for a long time, but it probably isn't included in the master plan in these sorts of intensities. So we know that there's a lot of studying left to be done. We know that that the town takes their infrastructure systems very seriously, and they want to make sure that they're resilient and reliable and forward-thinking, and we want to be a part of that process. So to the extent that we can share data and we can collaborate back and forth and just make sure that we're planning and looking for the future, that's absolutely what we're interested in. As you guys are all familiar from driving by now, the property, because of its agricultural history, has a drainage management system. We have very high groundwater out in this area. There are a series of ditches out on the property that have been used historically to just control the water level. There is an existing discharge out to the Delta. The concept that we've come up with, which has been pretty consistent for Lakeshore and the lakes, is to incorporate a lake system to help us both with our water quality and with our water quantity storage, flood control storage. We expect to build those lakes large enough so that they most of them we expect will hold water constantly so that they are an aesthetic benefit, but they will have enough capacity to store the storm water when we get the storms, and then we'll discharge them. The idea is to discharge them at the same rate currently the pre-development discharge would equal the post-development discharge. So we just want to see any change in how we're discharging our stormwater out to the Delta. We are hoping that we're able to construct a dry detention basin, one that's a little higher, has its floor a little higher, that can be a joint use facility that we can hopefully put ball fields and soccer fields and recreational amenities. We've done a number of those. I've personally worked on a number of those projects in Oakley that have been very successful. The Freedom Soccer Field there, the Laurel Ball Fields, great amenities for the community. When you get your torrential downpours and you get your big storms, you'll see water out there for a couple hours or a couple days, but by the time the weather's nice enough and people are ready to get back in the parks, they're dry. And then obviously, as we all know, transportation in East County is a huge deal. The active adult aspect is a benefit. Most of those people aren't working. Some of them still are, but most of them aren't. So you don't deal with this same commuter patterns that you would for a market rate project. But transportation is evolving in a number of different ways. You've got your driverless cars. You've got a lot of technology that allows people to stay home certain parts of the day. The way that they analyze traffic for future projects, it used to be a completely different system. Now we're going to this vehicle miles traveled, and so the extent you can incorporate jobs generating uses into a project, it really helps us keep the cars off the road. And so at the suggestion of the county, we've incorporated a light industrial component into the project that hopefully is a flex space that that incorporates some jobs generating uses that will keep people close to home. That being said, the transportation system it's evolving. It will continue to evolve. It will be completely different 10 years from now than it is today. There are a number of big regional projects, the toll road that was talked about to go to Tracy. There's the train project that links the Central Valley to the Tri-Valley. There's just a lot of transportation things that will evolve as our project evolves, and we're going to want to just stay in touch with those and with you and make sure that the transportation system is planned reliably, but it is also planned forward thinking, because I think that's going to be one of the big aspects that we see change a lot. So it's just a quick overview of what we expect for the infrastructure. Still a lot of studies to do. We need to hear from you guys We need to do a lot of technical analysis, share data back and forth, and just really figure out what the systems need to be.
Steve, you want to write for some questions? That was quite a bit of information. Any questions on the infrastructure?
Let me bring it back to before we
sure.
I'm going to open it up for public comment.
Okay. So we'll finish and then you can.
Yeah, once you're done, I'll go ahead. If you're done with the presentation.
No, we have more. We have more.
Thanks for that. Anything on the agenda.
I didn't plan as much. I'm not sure that the soils and geotechnical information is as exciting to you guys, but we definitely we know what we're doing out there. We've got our high groundwater, some near surface organic soils and peat soils. We really mapped those out. We did a study last year, we had like 50 or 60 test pits and ran organic contents of the soil in the upper 6 feet and really characterized it all to figure out how much that material we can use and we can't use. So we've got a really good understanding of what the soil conditions are. Some potential liquefiable sands, and then obviously the levee system is a big deal. This project is looking at, since we've got SP5 and all the new development has to have a 200-year flood protection. Right now, we've been talking with RD 100 for a while. We know that the current system doesn't provide the 200-year protection, and talking with Conway, he's not really sure when that'll be completed. There's several projects and a lot of expensive projects to get obviously the RD 100 up to the 200-year certification. So the plan for this one is to construct what's called a setback levee. So the levee that's along the water side now, that will have to be improved.
Essentially what we're talking about doing is doing what's called a setback levee that would go around the perimeter of the entire site that would have to get certified as its own levee system outside of RD 800. So this levee system would have to perform just like any other levee system. It won't rely on RD 800 certification for timing structures. That's kind of the basic. That's the basic soil stuff.
Great.
Thanks, Dave. So with that, and the study we've done with that, with the base infrastructure and such, we kind of came through questions through Mike and dealing with the county and the supervisors, kind of what's in it for me? What's in it for, the town of Discovery Bay? So we wanted to really talk about what is this for you guys? What is an advantage for you to have this new project come in, aside from the new infrastructure that would be expanding your existing systems? So number one is from what we heard through our conversations with, especially the county supervisors, very important was safety and emergency access. And so we have Fire Marshal Steve here, who is who's seen our plan. We've been working with the fire department on locations and financing systems and all of those kinds of good things. And as you can see, by the slide, we have the location of the existing fire station, and showing it to the far end of the site is 5.5 miles, and we have the yellow section, which is single access only. So there's not a secondary in or out for everybody in the yellow. So those are two big concerns for the fire department. So after several meetings with them, they talked about having a new fire station within our project. And the location, we talked about both one being closer to the marina and the other being closer to Highway 4. So we haven't decided that. It's going to be clearly up to them and how they want to operate the station. So that's obviously number one. The other thing is we provide the secondary access. And we have actually, per the fire department, we have two accesses ingress, egress from Highway 4, and then we meet up again, as you can see, there at the marina and connect back in. So anybody in that area, if there's a health or safety issue within the yellow area, there's always a second way in, second way out. This today, in today's world, how many houses can you get on a subdivision now without a secondary access?
Yeah, you're limited to about 300.
Yeah. About 300, yeah. So, which we're not getting 300 by in new subdivisions, are we?
In some jurisdictions, it's as little as 100.
Yeah. So the point is it's a huge benefit to the community to get that secondary access in. So that's probably number one. Also, we have been hearing quite a bit about the rollback to the main plan here about sports parks. So for the county, back in the day when Discovery Bay was approved, they said that the waterways were your park system. So back then, it obviously is short sports parks. So that's why we've incorporated, you know, Mike suggested early on a sports park for the entire community to use. So that will range depending on water storage, but most likely it'll be 25, 27 acre sports park, so it'll be significant. We have obviously no designs yet. This is all preliminary stuff. We want to, you know, run by you, make sure everybody's on board with this program. So, and Jason mentioned a little bit about the flex space that also came from the county in helping with local people having a place if they want to start some kind of business or have manufacturing or jobs, or it's really going to be a flex area. We're still going to study that to what the most the best size is. We've got it at 30 acres now. Could go smaller, could go bigger. We're going to do an economic study once we get further down the road here as we start the more detailed studies on the infrastructure and really hone that thing down for what works with existing Discovery Bay. So from that, I'm going to turn it over to Susan to talk about the market and kind of how we came up with the active adult program. Obviously, it's less impact on the community, and it certainly is a benefit for the schools and the traffic situation. So come on up, Susan, and tell us about the market and how we came to this.
So I'm going to take about a 185-page market study and try to synthesize it down to about 5 pages. But any site of this magnitude starts with the understanding of what the demographics are in the market area, what's the draw area, who is the buyer, and how do we best fit the sensitivity then of other constraints, such as Vasco Road or other issues like that. And so it became very clear early on that the active adult segment was both an underserved market in the Bay Area, as well as the greatest potential for opportunity in Discovery Bay. Oh, thank you. Oh, that's right, we can move forward. And so we start with understanding what the demographics are, the demographics of what the market area that we think will be drawn to Discovery Bay include the counties of Alameda, Contra Costa, and to a lesser degree, Santa Clara County, but certainly there will be a part of this cohort. There will obviously be other market areas that will be attracted to Discovery Bay simply because of the panache and cachet that Discovery Bay has, but those are the three counties that are probably going to be most serving this particular master plan. Within those three counties, there are about 1.6 million baby boomers. About half of them, 45%, currently own their own home. And what we do know about those three counties is if they bought their home when their children were younger and they've stayed in that home, they have substantial equities. And
So that's our cohort, generally speaking, in that three combined county area. The cohort above 55 have a net worth of about 2.4 million. The problem is they're stuck. They're stuck in their current home right now because there aren't available options for them. So they're probably living in a two-story home. They're probably living in homes that really don't age as they move forward. They don't age well with them. They do probably have children that live somewhere here in the Bay Area, and so moving far away out of state, which some are doing, but that's not an option for the percentage of the baby boomers, because they do want to be close to their children and their grandchildren, but they're stuck. The next map really highlights what I'm talking about, because right now in Northern California, there are only 9 active adult projects. That's it. The majority of them are up in Sacramento, El Dorado Hills, and in the Sacramento region, Placerville. The Trilogy Project in Brentwood is close to being sold out. Rio Vista Active Adult is close to being sold out, although there is Liberty back behind that. But Rio Vista has some challenges for active adults. We don't need to get into those, but there are some challenges with living in Rio Vista, largely in regard to lack of goods and services. And so we think that age cohort will be very attractive. There are about 1.6 million of them that are seeking this type of option. And we think it's a really good fit for this particular property. So if we go on to the next one.
Yeah.
Oh, you're already look at you. So we talked about the options, and so the thing that's really interesting about the active adult segment is that it's changed so much over the last couple of decades. The active adult is no longer looking for a place to become sedentary. They want a place where they're going to be active. They want to be mentally stimulated. They want to be physically stimulated. And so when we start looking at designing these master plans, they're not your grandmother's active adult community. They're places where people can engage in life, have actual physical activities that keep them active. And that's generally done through some really strong programming within that master plan community. And so very much like the millennials who want to become social, they want to gather, they want to do things, they just don't want to have to plan it. So that's where the programming in a community like this becomes really important. So the establishment of the amenities and picking amenities that are sensitive to the needs of that age cohort is really, really important, but also the programming becomes very important. So some of the things that we've been looking at, and the ego. So that's a funny thing to talk about when we talk about people buying homes, but quite often the baby boomers are afraid to make a decision because it doesn't look right to their friends. And so that sense of ego where they can say, I'm moving to Discovery Bay, I'm going to put a boat over in the marina, I'm going to take the kids out skiing on the weekends. All of these things are part of that story that's really important, not only to them, but for them to be able to tell their friends and family. So that actually has become a pretty important perspective to understand in developing a community like this. So some of the things that we're looking at, we've had many discussions within the whole team and the development team as well. But some of the things that we're looking at are developing a clubhouse, maybe 8,000 square feet, maybe bigger, maybe smaller. It really kind of depends upon how many units we end up building in a community, because there's a ratio of clubhouse to homeowner. Some kind of a bar or a small cafe. What we're finding is that people like to be able to walk to things. And you ask them what they want to walk to. They want to walk to wine. They want to walk to beer. They want to walk to coffee and maybe pastries in the morning. So read the paper, get a coffee, and get a pastry. And that's a really important component of a master plan like this. Fireplaces, resort style pool for adults, and maybe even a kids' splash park. And quite often you see these sort of segregated. There's an area for the kids area, and then there's an area for the adults. But one of the things that's really high ranking on the baby boomers wish list is having a place that the grandkids say, I want to go to. And that's in part why Discovery Bay fits that mold perfectly, because who doesn't want to come and have that Delta experience? But we'll also have a lot of those individual areas within the community that will augment Discovery Bay as a whole. We might have a working farm, there might be some gardening opportunities, because we're finding that is a really important aspect too, that you build these little garden areas and then everybody has their own little area to be able to do the vegetables and whatever they want to do. We might have a farmer's market that's different than downtown Brentwood. We might be able to encourage that. There might be teaching moments in that. Bocce or petanque. And then we have outdoor kitchens, fire pits, maybe in a concierge boat service, community garden, and a dog park. So those are kind of the things that we're thinking about right now. Certainly they're not exclusive of other things, and hearing what the community has to say as to what they're looking for and all of your group will be a really important part. Hiking trails, I think that's going to be a really important part of this, being able to get out and be active and have trails that connect to the levees, because we do want to promote a healthy lifestyle. And again, we need some place for the grandchildren to play. And I think the sports park is going to be a pivotal part of the community, because it not only brings in people from outside the community, it's also a amenity for people living within this community. So I think it's a really important aspect of the community. So, oh, the benefits. We're going to have the best page. So the benefits, I think, it will add some significant tax revenue to the town of Discovery Bay. The active adult component will put less of a burden on the school system, which obviously is something that we're very sensitive to. It'll re-energize the town motto of play where you live. And, you know, not that everybody in the Bay Area doesn't already know that, they do, but I think it just kind of like gives it another little shot in the arm, and it kind of refocuses on that. I think there will be amenities for all age groups, and I think that's a really important part of this. It's not just about the active adult needs, it's about the needs of the community as well. So the ball fields and the hiking trails and the open spaces will all be available to residents that are currently live in Discovery Bay. But I think the new modern lifestyle, the product has changed so much. What we've seen happening in housing has been really exciting. And so the types of homes that we're building, the kind of wow moments that are being put in these homes are going to be very exciting. And then the new master plan is going to include activities that will attract the young families, because what we want them to do is we want them to come often, visit their parents and grandparents, and spend money at the local marina, the restaurants, and the nearby retail. So that's where we go.
Great. Thank you. With that, we're happy to take questions, comments.
Well, again, I'll hold off on those and let the public hear if they have something to say.
Great, thank you.
Okay, thank you, thank you. So with that, I'll open it to public comment, and I have one card, and I think it's for this one, D1, Frank.
I have a couple questions. This may have been answered already, but I'd like to go through them. I'm not sure you can answer these or not. It's like a regular thing or at the end. Anyway, what is the expected population of Dillwell? I heard 2,000 homes. Next question is, what is the expected number of new Town of Discovery Bay water and wastewater hookups? I'll assume it's 2,000 until I hear otherwise. According to the staff's November 20, at your staff, 2019 report, essential improvements for wastewater at plant number one and plant number two is over $13 million. And this development does not appear in the projected growth on the land use table in the development we just heard about. What is the development cost to Town of Discovery Bay? Next question is, how real is the proposed fire station? Discovery Bay used to have a fire station in the center of Discovery Bay, right next door. So is this a proposed fire station, an approved fire station, guaranteed, or just a sales pitch? Last question. Will the town of Discovery Bay's board of directors use revenue bonds to fund the development and its long-term ongoing cost, should the NBORD's long-term cost? Those are my questions. I don't know if you answered them or they answered them.
Okay. I sit down. They will be taken down. Noted. Thanks, Frank. Any other public comments? I'll go ahead and close public comments, seeing none, and bring it back to the board for discussion.
I'll direct them to you, but you can forward them on anybody else. What are the estimated equivalent dwelling units in that proposed area?
It'll range anywhere.
You come on. I'm probably asking more than one question.
Sorry. It is being recorded, yeah. So the microphone's important.
It's about between 1,700 and 2,000.
Okay.
And it's obviously a math problem,
yeah,
due to the maintenance, all the things that the gentleman just talked about, fire station.
Right.
We need obviously enough residents to pay for the ongoing maintenance. So that's where we're going.
I was just saying, Frank should just give you the list so you can move forward.
Well, why don't you just hold off and let us run the meeting and we'll get back to you. Focus me. Let's see. Okay, so we can do the calculation of the water and wastewater based on an equivalent dwelling unit.
Correct.
That's just the mathematics. When you talk about the traffic and the additional ingress and egress from the property, as I was looking at the map, I think you showed two streets heading south from the development onto Highway 4. Is that correct?
Which slide would you like?
Yeah.
Right here.
Right. So there's two.
Those two. Yeah.
With those, I don't know if you're deep enough in the weeds here, but are those controlled intersections? I'm trying to think of somebody making a left turn at 7 o'clock in the morning or trying to make a right turn.
Yeah, we're not that far along yet.
Okay.
I fully expect that one of them at least is going to be fully signalized. The other one, maybe it's right in, right out, controlled access. We would use the traffic studies to guide us through that. And obviously, Caltrans would have an opinion.
Okay. And then as you were talking about the soils in the area, and you've got issues with the 200-year floods and so forth, does the elevation of that property need to be brought up in order to develop it?
That's what the levee system takes care of.
Okay.
So no.
So there won't be any imported soil to bring up?
No, there will be replaced.
A lot of soil. But
yeah, Steve can talk more about that.
Yeah, based on our study, there's definitely a lot of soil out there that has too much organics in it and can consolidate and settle. So we've got some pretty rough volumes of that, and they're pretty big numbers. And so we're still figuring out what the best thing is to do with that. Do we swap that? It's great for growing. So talking about, is it possible to swap that soil with some of the stuff in the northern part of the property that has good soil? And we're trying to figure out the best thing to do with the organic soil. But from a total volume, the goal would be somewhat of a balanced site, like digging the lakes, and the goal isn't to bring it above the earth and raise it.
Okay.
There is good soils in the lake underneath, right? So we just have to call it lop it.
Right.
Yeah.
So as you're excavating for lakes,
right,
in this sports park or whatever, you would just take that soil.
Put that where the residents live.
Gotcha. All right. And then I guess my last question is, as you look at this project, what do you think that the median price is going to be for the type of homes that you would construct?
It's a little early for that?
Well, it's early only because the bubble diagram really indicates sort of like where we think the product will go. But we may end up finding that there's a huge population of widow and widowers, and so we want to do maybe a higher density and smaller units to be able to attract a cohort that is unserved. And so when you're doing the bubble diagrams and you really haven't honed in on product, it's really impossible to come up with pricing.
Okay, thank you.
So again, you can see we're early,
yeah,
so that's why we're trying to get input from you guys at this stage before it's already cooked, right?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, just a couple questions. I am understanding correct that you're looking at a Trilogy Del Webb type of product that's $55 throughout the entire community, is that correct?
Correct.
And do you have any idea of a time frame? I mean, I know it's way early, but yeah. As you talk about transportation things in the future, those are 20 years down the road. Are you looking 10 years down the road? We're going to always have a problem with, if you've been out here on a Friday night with all the traffic going to Stockton,
that's right.
It backs up all the way to, you know, J4.
Right.
What kind of a time frame are you? You must have some goals.
Yeah, no, we do. So the processing of this and the entitlements, because we also have to go through the governmental agencies, are estimated 5+ years.
Okay.
So, and some of those, I know that the train you're talking about that is going to be going over the Altamont, that'll relieve a lot of that. That is supposed to start by 2022, I think, 2020. The first station's in Livermore, and that'll connect all the way out to the valley, which will relieve obviously this way. So, anyway,
we would hope.
Your point.
Yeah, that's we would hope.
Theoretically.
And I guess just one final comment that I have, and that is with regards to the fire station. And we all know that all you can do is build it. We need to work closely with our fire, with DCCFPD, and find out whether or not it can even be manned. So before, you know, that's just something that we're going to have to keep a good eye on as we talk about funding issues with regards to our... Yeah. We have some funding issues already that were challenges for us with our fire department.
Yeah, and we've been in discussions with them and talking about it. That's why I get back to the math problem and the number of units, because they are going to need to take some of the burden of the maintenance of that station. So it's
Thank
not
you.
One we want to just build and be empty.
Obviously. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Dr. Gupta, you have anything?
Yeah. Just a couple quick comments. Obviously, this is very early in the stage, but I'm excited about it. I think it'd be an amazing opportunity for long-term growth of our community. The comments that I have, one, there was some discussion about the egress and ingress of the roads. As a thought, maybe one, there should be a road that's on the far west-hand section of your development and the far eastern section of our existing property line, which is where the current
right here,
exactly, to connect into the marina area, versus forcing all those residents in yellow that only have one way in, one way out, having to go through your community to get in and out quickly. It's just a thought. The other comment that I had was, I love the ideas of having additional recreational facilities that you're opening up to the town of Discovery Bay and outside areas. Maybe having those areas, the sports fields and I don't know if the community centers would be also open to the town of Discovery Bay with the pools and everything else.
Right.
Maybe having those facilities as close to Discovery Bay as possible versus on your eastern section there.
Yeah, that's why we oriented the sports fields towards the turns of the Discovery Bay existing side. So most of the activities that kids will be utilizing is going to be within that 27 acres. So we've yet to determine how the senior community center will operate and work, and you know how that goes.
Well, if you guys need some help filling the concert amphitheater, just talk to Monica and myself. And we'll be happy to.
Thank you. President Pease?
Yeah, the one word I've not heard on recreation, Pananche, Bocce and Pananche.
Patong.
Yeah. Did you just tell me what that is?
I play a pickleball.
Patong is the French version of Bocce. But it's not as formal, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, it's less formal, so you can drink more wine.
We do a good job at it. I don't know if we need any extra. All right, the other item, you mentioned that it would add, one of the benefits, it would add tax revenue to Discovery Bay, and I'm scratching my head trying to figure that out. We're not a city, so we don't participate in sales tax revenue, and we get very little off property tax.
where's this property, tax revenue that we would gain?
I think it's in the services, you know, that everybody living there will partake in all of the retail that's in the town and the marina.
Okay, I'll go with it.
But it's specific tax dollars, I assume, and so
We don't get it. That's a zero for us.
We don't have to look too far. So next time you come back, probably not use that zero for us. Tell that to the
You guys are a zero.
Yeah, we're zero.
Okay.
We're getting nothing.
We're talking to them.
Yeah, the... it's been mentioned about the fire station. I think that's great, and having the ability to actually man the fire station through the residential community, I think probably would have to be a must. You know, again, it's all math and it's all about numbers. I think the biggest issue that I see is traffic mitigation and the two bridges on Highway 4 going to Stockton. I'm not sure how you're going to get past that. I'm not opposed to the project, I'll be upfront about that. I think it would be great for the community. But traffic mitigation, to me, is the biggest issue that you're going to have to face. All the other items are hurdles. That's a major hurdle with those bridges. So I wish you the best on that one. And some of the other questions that I was going to ask have been answered, so that's great. And you already admitted that you're not in our current rate study, so if this project were to be moved forward, it would be, you know, 100% of this project would have to figure out a way to increase the size of our current wastewater treatment plant in our water system with no additional input on our current residents.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. I just had a couple of comments, maybe a question or two, but I noticed there were an awful lot of mites in there, so this is preliminary, it sounds like, so I don't know how much you are able to answer, but I'm gonna support what Vice President Pease had said. Don't take traffic lightly. Highway 4 is a dangerous highway, and as you came into this community, you'll notice the delineators we put up out there. That was a rush job. It was done in a very quick time, short time by any government standard. But it was there to save lives. It really was. That highway can get real treacherous. So the two exits, and Director Leet also referenced those, you really have to take a hard look at that. It looks like the only bridge you have into the standard, into the core community, would be through Marina Boulevard. And Marina Boulevard would have to be improved to be able to handle increased traffic that would come through there, as Director Guto had mentioned. And you've got to look at it. If you're going to feed them through residential streets, you might be surprised how many cars come through there. So you have to take that into consideration. Traffic is very, very, very important. There's a sound wall currently on that side facing the court. It leads down pretty close to the marina. I don't know what the plan is for that. I'm sure you won't be able to answer that, whether that sound wall stays up in your plan. I don't know that you have any rights to be able to do that now, but there'll be a question or two regarding that. So please put that in your sheet of things to think about. Was there any consideration for a gated section or the entire thing being gated?
It's not been discussed yet.
So it's not decided?
Do you have an opinion?
Okay.
Either way?
No, just wondering if
you have not. No, we have not. Typically these days, it's usually not. Susan, they're not gating those much anymore, are they?
No.
President, Mayor, staff has some input on that.
Okay, good. Thank you. And that's basically all I had, but I would say stay close to the town. This is really just a tickler that you've given us.
That's right.
You've got something in mind. I don't know that we can say we're for it, against it. I don't see any opposition. I see some concerns. And if you stay tight and close with the town and take our input, it should go along a little smoother. I agree with Vice President Pease that it looks like something that could be beneficial for the community, but let's take it step by step.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for the presentation.
Yep.
Very, very good. So any other questions from any board members?
I just make a final comment. I think you're going into the age base, 55 and above, it is definitely a plus on my side.
Good, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll leave some cards in the back. Feel free to call me anytime. Questions, thoughts, whatever. Okay, there'll be questions. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to move on into E1, which is Geoga.
I can follow that tomorrow. I'll be the seat. All right, for the month of October, staff continues to practice safety. We have terminals run 11 years in January.
Just going to do the math.
Like 3,000 days in the last.
For the month that walked over, we did slips and draw falls, slips and trips, excuse me, and we did participate in the Great California Shakeout. We'll cover at 10:17 on the 17th. All reports was submitted to the state, due dates quarterly and monthly. All wells were active. We did 95 million gallons of water produced going out, but our production goes down for the fall. We did have a few gallons of water falls. We had to go out and do some additional flushing, but we thought that was getting overcome. Water production continues to well below our 2013 baseline. We've been steady about 17% reduction for the last 3 months. Wastewater plant, great, well below all of our limits. No permit violations, all lift stations are running. Staff continues to do manhole inspections and sewer assessments on the sewers, flushing, and staff continues to do a great job in keeping things down. Currently, all bag bob is down to about one, so doing really good. Any questions?
Yes. It showed you did 21 fire hydrants. You flushed them. Are you done?
No.
You have more.
We need to go.
Okay. So one of the I did receive a number of residents' comments about dirty water coming in, and I'm sure you fielded some. All right.
Yeah, that was yes, the sixth round. We actually got 6 rounds. We had a mechanical issue with one of the plants where when we were doing backwashing, the valve closed before it should have, and some of the rinse water got into the.
I don't know whether that's worthy of putting it on the website, but it's pretty easy to let the residents who did bring up the comments know that it's a temporary thing. It goes away very quickly.
Our system goes in 24 hours.
Okay, but we've got more to go.
Oh, we continue to flush through the year. We got 800 fire hydrants flushed in the year. So.
Okay. Thanks, Bernie. Okay, on into F1. Staff?
Yes. You recall on December 2nd, the board voted between some options on denitrification, and the board went with option number one, which was to rehab plant one and bring denite to that, as well as to our existing plant two. Now before you tonight is the master plan that's been incorporated in. And so Gregory's here to talk about accepting the master plan, and he has some updated dollar figures as well. So I'll turn it over to Gregory.
Reduced that help. Gregory Harris, Bureau of Engineering, District Engineer for this town, Discover Bay. We're done. Master plan is done. Probably took over a year. As you remember, Stantec was hired a little over a year ago to start the master plan. And they've got a plan. We've had many meetings on it. We've had several board updates about key sections of that master plan. And I'm here to give you a quick summary of that master plan and discuss the next steps. So Stantec Consulting Engineers were hired to prepare the wastewater master plan update. Now, this is called an update because we did a plan 6-7 years ago, 5 years ago, 2012, and it got started and updated in 2013. So we've had a plan. This was an update to the plan, and there's some sort of critical questions we wanted to get answered as far as the plan. So, the plan has been developed for more than a year. and are really trying to answer the following questions. You know, the first one is, our NPDES permit changed, and what's the best way to modify the plant to comply with our permit? And that's the denitrification project that we've talked about for a year now. So that's the denitrification was added to our permit. And how are we going to get there? It's been analyzed many times. It's analyzed the mass plan, and it's been analyzed again. But we've arrived. There's no more changing. I've changed our minds. We're going with the denitrification basis. So the other question is, what should the plant town do with plant number one? There's been a lot of discussion about plant number one. Should we keep it? Should we move it? What should we do with it? This has been brought up to this test. And then the other big item was the drought brought on lower flows, the economy brought on lower flows. Does that mean anything in terms of this analysis? Can we save some money? Did the flows work? Whoops. There we go. So to answer those questions in the master plan, the most cost-effective way to do the denitrification project is anoxic basins in front of the oxidation ditches. We need all three ditches to properly meet the performance of the plant.
What's an anox basin?
All right, so oxidation is when you, we add air in one basin, we don't add air in the other basin. Okay. So there's no oxygen in this, it's just without oxygen. They're smaller, so basically the bugs need air to survive.
It's an anaerobic environment.
And so we give them plenty of air, they take up all the ammonia, and then they convert that to nitrate. And then we shove them in a closet with no air, and they look around for some debris, and they break off the nitrate. That's basically what they do. So that's going to occur at both plants, one and two. And in front of each oxidation dish, so we have three oxidation dishes, so it'd be three anoxic bases. Plant number one is still needed. It's needed for maintenance, it's needed for liability reasons, and occasionally during peak loading conditions in the winter time, the cold temperatures, it's needed. One of the downfalls of the flows going down is the water temperatures are colder. The sewer has more time to cool off where it goes in the treatment plant, and the water's colder than it was, and the biology gets slowed down, it doesn't work as well as the water temperature. So that turned out to be a surprising impact of close water. And as we had several discussions on, it's cheaper to repair plant number one to the level of a backup facility and this interim loading position than it is to pick it up and move it all the plants. So the decision board made a while back was to keep plant number one, and that is incorporated in the master plan. So we did have recent wastewater inflow flows and lower. And there was a lot of question about, does that help us? Can we build less stuff? The flow is lower. Well, unfortunately, what we call the biological demand is not lower. The water's lower, but the concentration of biological demand went up. So the recommendations of the master plan really haven't changed in terms of the size of the facility you need for the previous master plan. And that's why we still need plant number one. There were improvement recommendations for both plant one and plant two. We're broken down to essential and non-essential items. There's been a hard list in the master plan, and they labeled them by essential and non-essential. We've gone over that list with the wastewater committee. Everybody, all the staff's gone through that list, and we're recommending proceeding with the essential projects list. There's some other ones that are picked up on O&M and other things that are in there, but the essential project list is essentially what we're recommending. It breaks down like this. The list is like 25 projects or so. There's a lot of them, but just in general, big picture. The denitrification project is about $7.84 million. The plant rehabilitation of plant one is about $3.45 million. And then there's about $1.77 million of stuff that the master plan developed in looking at all the facilities, but they weren't specifically asked for when we first jumped into this. When we first jumped into it, we talked about plant one, talked about denitrification. And so there's some studies and there's some other improvements that are needed. And that came out to about $13 million. That's a project cost. I'm going to break down what that cost means to you in a second. And one important element of that is that cost is in today's dollars, just like right now. If you built it right now, that's what the plan would cost. When they do the master plan, they don't know when you're going to build it. So they anchor their cost in today's dollars. And then if you build it later, if you wait time, you take 5 years to build it, well, inflation is going to raise your cost. We had previously at the board, we had talked about 13.368 as a preliminary number on the master plan when we had previous drafts of the master plan, so you may have seen that number. So the numbers happen to be coincidentally close, they're off by $300,000, which is kind of coincidence. But we do want to make sure that we're tracking the same numbers for you guys. We're not trying to confuse you guys. So previously, like at the previous board meeting, we had 13.368 up. We're at 13.068 now. However, we're recommending that you would normally plan that you would keep 3.368 and not get into that breakdown. A lot of questions have come up about what is in the project cost. You know, what does it entail? So it certainly entails the construction cost. We've got to build something, right? But there's more costs beyond the construction costs. So, you know, normally there's geotechnical services, there's engineering services, survey, there's some tests, there's an oxygen study. There's administrative staff time. You guys need to do a rate study. So there's what we call soft costs that are associated with this project. And those soft costs add on to the base cost of the project. But they're included in the project cost of 13.068 that we presented earlier. And here's the breakdown. So it's about $2 million in soft costs. The master plan construction cost is about $10.5 million. And together, with a 6.5% contingency, you end up at 13.386. That's how we get the 13.386. Okay. However, that's in 2019 dollars. That's if you built it today. It's going to take us a year to design it. Then you bid, and we usually estimate to the midpoint of construction. It's going to take you 2 years to build it. So it's really 2 years away before you're really spending the bulk of the money here on these projects. And so there's an inflation adjustment, 2.5% for 2 years, 5% total added on, and we're at $14 million. So we haven't told you $14 million before because I forgot about the inflation adjustment. So it's long and short. So we told you 13 plus 386 and 1306 before, but I believe it's prudent to include inflation adjustment in there. We do have some contingency, project contingency, the 6.5% we're talking about there. But that could be blown out entirely by inflation adjustment. You wouldn't have much project contingency left. And then there is some contingency in the construction dollar, the 10.5 from Stantec. There's some construction contingency in there as well. So I feel that Stantec feels that 14 is a pretty safe number to get the project. Schedule, as you know, if you just go to the straight bottom, December of 2023, our permit changes. And we're actually fined every day after that we don't meet permit limits. So we have to work back from there. As I said, design is over a year. Construction is going to be about 2 years because of the staging on the project. Veolia needs time to run the facility. We're changing the whole biological nature of the plant. So we can't, it's not like a car. We can't just flip a switch and everything runs fine. This is like your stomach and you just move to Mexico. Okay, so that's what it's like, all right? So we got to give Veolia time to run this. So they need 6 months ahead of the due date for the NPDES permit to get this thing online. And if we start, we have to design in January. If we don't start designing in January, we're at risk, you know, of pushing into that time that we only need to operate the facility in terms of construction. So we got design, and as you can see, we'd be out to begin construction in June of 2021. Because even when we're done with design, you still got to bid it, you still got to get bond insurance, and bidding is a 3-month process. So you got to be out to bid, you got to receive bids, you got to approve the awards, get the contracts. So we end up, if we start right away in June of 2021, we start construction. And that gives us basically 2 years. And the complicating factor is we have to fix plant one, then we have to swap flow to plant one so we can bring down portions of plant two. We've got this big three oxidation units, so we've got to move all the flow back and forth. We got to do it one at a time. So we have to sequence the whole job. We can't can't just go in and jump on two things and do it done. Like if they're built from scratch, they can do two things at once, and they can't. They gotta do one at a time because we have to keep the fire stations. And that's it. Any questions?
If I could, I'll do the same thing I did before. Let me open it up to the public and see if there's any public comment first.
I have a question.
Okay.
The money that he's talking about, the $13 million, is that going to be coming from a revenue fund, or will you be using part of your unrestricted net assets? That's my question.
Okay. Thank you, Frank. Any other public comment? See no other public comment. I'll close public comments and bring it back to the board for discussion. Director Lee?
Yeah, Greg, just looking at the schedule, talk about a year for design, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you start design in January of 2020, by December of 2020, design should be complete.
Yeah, we're actually a little bit longer than a year.
Well, that's what I just look at. So it's way longer than
a year. Yeah, it's over a year around the design. Because we got some studies we got to get done in front of that. We got some surveying stuff to do. And it's a lot of improvements, a lot of little details to get up. So I roughly said it's a year, but it's actually taking like 14 months or something like that. And then we got to go out to bid.
Right.
So bidding is 3 months solid, you know, before you can get there. So really, we got to be bidding by March.
Okay.
Right.
My only comment is that just for the public's information, this is not a project where we're trying to improve the process of our plant, because currently the water that we're discharging into the Delta is cleaner than the Delta water is today. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so this is state mandate. It told us that we have to do this or we can't operate the plant. And that's why we're in the dilemma that we're in.
Right. And it's not just Discovery Bay. It's SAC Regional. It's Stockton, it's Tracy, it's Brentwood. It's every single discharger in San Joaquin Delta, State of California.
I would just like to say that you have a timeline, and I didn't see it in your presentation, but this timeline?
Yeah, I thought it was so complicated that it would
And it was, but I really like to ask that we reference this as we go through this project.
Sure.
And because it's a good starting point, and without changing it, we can see where we stand.
Yeah.
We know that June of 2023 is the most critical date that I see up there.
Yeah.
We need 6 months. You have indicated that many times.
Right.
6 months of testing. To make sure we're ready by
If you remember with the filters, we started it in August, didn't realize we had a problem. I remember January hit, it was like, oh my God, what happened? You know, and we were lucky. We used some words to get out of the fine, but it was close. We could have been fined for 30 days every day, 9,000 a day for 30 days. So we want to make sure we always got time to get this tiger in the rack.
That's perfect. And if we all look at this as the Bible on the schedule, it's going to help you, it's going to help us, I think, if we move through it.
Yes.
Any other comments from the board? Questions? Do I hear a motion?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Staff, F2.
Okay, we'll bring Dita up to talk about Gregory's scope of work.
Good evening. So as this project gets underway, we're going to need our engineer to guide us through it. So before you, I give you a scope of work. And so we would like to contract with Forward Engineering in the amount not to exceed $1,695,710 to help us with the denitrification project and the plant line improvements. So I'd like to authorize the general manager to contract.
Thank you. And I'll do the same as I have if it's okay. Open for public comments. I see no public comments, so bring it back. Close public comments. And bring it back to the board. Director Lee.
Yeah, I just have a question for staff. I see that the scope of work is broken into three elements: design, construction services, and construction management. Until we've got the design done, I'd be more comfortable approving the engineering design and bid services and then come back to the board as we get closer and we understand what the project is, and then look at the construction and the engineering services during construction at a later point.
Sure. Is it because you feel the price may change?
Well, I think that this project, as Gregory has said, there's a lot of moving parts here. We've got studies, we're going to have enough consultants in the design portion before we even get to a construction portion. And I'd like to see where we are with design and the costs before we get to the ancillary services that are steps 2 years from now.
Any other comments from the board? I can't disagree, so do I hear a motion? And I'll turn you to make a motion.
May I make a motion that we approve the scope of work for engineering design and bid services in the amount of $838,060 to Gurwood Engineering for the improvements for the denitrification project.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Is it, motion passes. Can I ask a question on that? At what point do we bring back the remaining? We don't have a time frame for that.
We would love to be. We would love to be.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Good, good. I just want clarification. Thank you. That's good. Okay. Thank you very much. That concludes F2. Directors' reports. The standing committee reports, there are none to. Are there any other reportable reports?
One other report. General Manager Davies and I attended the East County Water Management Agency meeting last week. I think two items of interest. Number one is we had a presentation from an individual from the Department of Water Resources regarding the Delta conveyance program that they are now the replacement of the Twin Tunnels project. So there's a lot of information on the website if you're interested. And lastly, the East County Water Management Agency is looking at adding Bethel Island Municipal Improvement District as a member of that organization, because they've got some water issues in Bethel Island.
Any other reportable items? Thank you, Director Lee. Manager's report, staff.
I'd like to invite our new park and landscape manager, Bill Engelman, to the podium. He's came on last Monday, and I'd like you to tell the board a little bit and the public a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Thanks for having me. I've met some of you already. I have a bit of a varied background. I spent the first 4 or 5 years of my career in corporate finance in Chicago. Decided to go back to school. For the next 10 years, I worked as a land surveyor, practiced as a landscape architect in Colorado. And for the last 7 years, I've owned and operated my own landscape design and build and plant nursery operation in Wisconsin. And now I find myself in Discovery Bay.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you.
Welcome, Bill.
Good to have you.
That's good.
The plus is there's no snow here, so you can landscape all year round.
And no snow removal.
I'm already liking you because you were really brief.
I have a couple other announcements.
Yes.
Thank you. Mac has told us that he's moving on to brighter skies, and actually to the ski slopes, and I would like to invite Mac up because this is going to be his last meeting before the board. Say a few words.
All right. So, what I want to do is kind of take this opportunity to once again thank the board and the town for the opportunity to come here and to kind of share my talents and skills with you. Appreciate the support of Mike Davies and my colleagues behind me. I think we've got the recreation component kind of dialed in. Monica knows the expectations are there. She knows what to do. So I think you guys are going to be in some really good hands. And I'm looking forward to, again, as Dina said, to make sure that I get invites. So when the pool's back open, and the dog park and the pickleball courts and everything else is running. I want to come back and check on you guys and see how it's going. But again, I appreciate the opportunity. It's been fun, and I'm sure I'll hope to see you guys soon.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a comment. I just want to thank you. I wasn't able to attend your luncheon the other day, and you've taken, there was no department, recreation, et cetera. And with your background and knowledge, on behalf of the board and the residents, we want to really thank you very much for getting us to where we are right now, because I don't know if there's anybody else who could have done that. So for all the time and effort that you put in here at the town of Discovery Bay, we thank you very, very much.
And my last is to announce that obviously leaves a vacant spot with Matt leaving, and I promoted Monica to Matt's position, so she will be the new park and rec supervisor.
Congratulations.
Can we bring her up and she can be as brief as Bill and tell him us a little about herself?
A little about myself?
Yeah. Where have you been for the last 5 years?
Six,
sorry. I was guessing.
I've been working here. I started assisting Farron, Virgil, and almost 6 years later, now I'm stepping up, and I'm so excited, and I thank you for the opportunity. We're going to do great things. Mac has been an amazing mentor, and I'm going to miss him very much, but I'm ready.
We have his phone number.
Yeah,
yes, I do.
Speed
down. We're glad to have you, Monica.
Welcome. Okay. Actually, I said one quick comment. This applies both to Monica and to Bill. I'm looking forward to working with you guys, especially since Kevin and myself, Director Graves and myself, on the Park and Recreation Committee. And so I'm looking forward to you challenging us to come up with different ideas, different recommendations, and help us help you bring necessary funding to bring this to fruition, because I think this community deserves it. So I look forward to both of you guys working together and your future ideas and recommendations.
Thank you.
Perfect. Tom Cruise would be proud of that quote. Help me help you. Okay. That's it for managers.
I have a general managers. And I have to give credit to Sue on this one. As you know, we became the board's become a platinum level district of distinction. It does not get higher than that. So to celebrate, she had to go out and get some swag. So you have a poster memorializing this and a pin indicating we are the platinum level district of distinction. And then the second is Rob couldn't be here tonight, but he wanted to make sure that I told the board happy Thanksgiving on his behalf.
Oh, that's
that concludes my report.
Is there, and maybe I'm inappropriate in this, but is there a good time to talk about the trip that you and Bernie and Gregory went on?
Certainly. As you know...
And the results?
As you know, well, I'm going to give actually Gregory Harris the mic on this, because he did the bulwark of this, and we have exciting news to report.
So... you recall that the state was really putting a very tight ammonia limit on us. We've been fighting with the state about that ammonia limit since 5 years ago when they first gave it to us. And every time they bring it up, I write a letter and I say, this isn't fair, I give them some reasons why. So we went up there, Mike and Bernie and myself, and we met with Stantec up there. I'll just say Mike crushed them in that hole. And they listened to us for once, so we got a win. So they relaxed our permit standard to something that's a little more reasonable, and now we don't have to sweat bullets every day when we run a treatment plant.
Congratulations.
Good job.
Good work.
It's a great job. But just for clarification, they were asking us to hit 0.7, and who cares? It's a scale 0.7.
Yeah.
You were coming in there, going in there, hoping to get one.
Yeah, I got 1.2.
And you got 1.2.
Yeah.
That's a big win.
Yeah.
Good job.
Means a lot for the town.
First person to beat up the state.
Okay. Anything else on the general managers? I've squeezed enough out of you. Correspondence, we see we got a couple of notes in from the aviation, information only. Future agenda items.
It's been a while since we've heard any updates regarding the pool. Is that something we could add to as an official report where they're at in
So 2 weeks ago, I can give a quick update, I guess, can I? 2 weeks ago, I contacted TerraCon. They indicated that they thought that they would have it ready for the county in about 2 weeks. And of course, 2 weeks is 3 or 4 weeks. So I will contact them this week or early next week to get an update on that. But the next stage after this will be agency review by or plan review by the county.
Does that help you? Do you need a new agenda for that? Put on the agenda? Does that satisfy your question?
I can keep up with your general manager report.
That's good. Okay. Good. Thank you. Okay. And that brings us to the adjournment. And we need to adjourn.